I want a day to I want to spend one more day on this sefer, but I'm not about the topic of the sefer. This sefer that we learned yesterday, the pharaohs, right? Pharaoh, biblical history, Egypt, and the missing millennium. Okay, that I'm not doing that today. We did that. We discussed yesterday the basic thesis of what. But at the end of this book, this sefer, he obviously has a lot of chidushim. For some reason, he put in the end of this sefer chidush that really have nothing to do, not much to do with the sefer. And the chidushim that he has here is just fascinating. Fascinating chidushim. A lot of them are very mathematical. It's a little bit over my head, but I just want to touch upon some of the things that he says over here, because this type of stuff you don't get to see often. These type of chidushim. And I will just do a little bit. Okay, we'll see what we can do. I don't really understand too much of this myself, but let's see. This, I always found this to be fascinating, that Hashem made for Adam and Chava kos nois or. Kos nois or vayal bishem. Kos nois or means garments of leather. Hashem said after the Adam and Chava from the Eitz Hadas, it says in the Pasuk, vayedu ki erumim hema, they acknowledged that they were unclothed. And they covered themselves. And then after they covered themselves...
The Genesis of the garment industry. Originally they covered themselves with leaves.
With leaves. And then it says, Hashem made for them kosnois or vayas lochem kosnois or vayal bishem. And Hashem dressed them. All the Mefarshim ask, why was it necessary for Hashem to fashion for them garments of leather, when it already says explicitly in the Torah that they cover themselves?
And he would have to kill an animal.
Where did they get the animals from? Exactly. Before Noach, it was osur to eat basar. You're not allowed to kill an animal. There's a lot of questions here. And you never even really think about these questions. Exactly, Mark, where did Hashem get the ore to cover Adam and Chava?
Snake skin would be peeled off. They mow.
So you want to say that it was a living, the creature didn't die, it shed its skin. From shed its skin is what was used to fashion the garments. Did a living creature have to die in order to obtain leather to cover them? Okay, it's a really good question, because Hashem follows the Torah. And at this point in time, before Noah, it was forbidden for man to kill an animal. Man was not allowed. So, meat. Okay, so Mayer's asking another very interesting question. If man is not allowed to eat meat, can he still kill? Can he kill an animal?
The animals died.
That's how Kainu had a berry. Because the bird died.
Other animals.
All right, you're asking tough questions, but we all know today. We know today that they tell children, don't kill a fly. You always hear about Gedolei Yisrael. They were so delicate they could not bring themselves to kill a fly. You go into the home of Gedolei Yisrael, they don't have fly swatters.
Yeah, but they all have ounce beds made of a dead cow.
They have what? They have, what do they, what do they have? Leave it to Mayer. Mayer says, you know, if you see the Hasidic Rebbe's, they have these talus bags made from exotic animals. You see, he's a very sensitive soul, Mr. Marillus. You know this. You don't want to go kill. Don't kill for fun. You bet you're going to kill them. Come to me. I have no problem killing them. Okay? I got no problem. Okay, there are people that are very says. I know Rabbi Schmidman, where I daven. You know, he calls me up to his house to kill. He says, I have this phobia. It's not normal, he tells me. I can't kill this.
Cockroach?
Yeah. And he calls it. So the first time I go up, I thought, who knows what I'm going to find there. I'm going to find this big monster. A cockroach. Are you kidding? You're calling me up here to kill? Are you kidding?
You think it has to be killed?
The killer would have paid.
She wasn't home. She wasn't home. She wasn't home. She would do it. Don't worry. Okay, she's a very good person. The Chazal, he's a very, very kind people. Extremely kind people. Okay, it's funny. People, so we're brought up, you don't kill creatures. So why do we kill? We gotta eat. You gotta eat some meat, you know. People, you have to survive meat. So you eat meat. So therefore, if you eat, so you're allowed to do, so how do we kill? Shechita. Shechita has been scientifically proven to be the most humane form of, Rabayevsky, he knows this, the most humane form. They can do scientific tests of the animals. What? They measure the heart. The way the goyim kill animals is by barak. Today, most animals are killed by electrocution. Yeah, they do when they don't.
Rabbi Tendel came back from Schlachtos and he told us that time. This goes back to the mid-60s, and he said the guy just picks up these, like you just said, and slugged them over the head, and he groans, and he said, I'll give you one more shot.
It's horrible. Today, the electrocution. Today, it's not. And shechita has been proven again and again. But the goyim, they don't care. There's no one to talk to. They don't.
You get. With the electrocution.
Yeah.
And it won't drain out, so that makes it even worse.
Makes it a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, it's another problem.
That's why.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway, we don't do it. Anyway, today, it has to be a regular shechita, whatever it is. So because we have a need to eat meat, Hashem gave us permission to eat meat, so Hashem gave us a delicate way to take the life of the animal through shechita. But before Noach, there was no permission for a man to eat meat. If that's the case, so why would you want to kill an animal? What did the animal do to you? What do you get out of killing the animal? Is it a danger? I got no idea, but it is very interesting that in Maaseh Bereishis, that Hashem made for Adam and Chava kosnois or. Where did Hashem get the or? Did he create leather out of nothing? Well, I'll tell you something really spooky. You want to hear this? Is that the clothing were living animals? Who says that the animals that dressed them were dead? Maybe it was some type of living creature. There are such things. They were alive. They were alive. When you read, you know, if you read these, you don't read these. This is not conspiracy stuff. This is Kabbalistic type of stuff. There are stories. You're not going to believe me. These stories, and it's all over the place. You read, sir, is that people's tzitzis. These legends, there are legends about Gedolei Yisrael that their tzitzis were alive, and they would move, and they would twirl.
Like Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, yeah, and what else was alive? Their payas.
Payas.
The payas. They had a life to itself.
Lice.
I'm not making this. No, not lice. Not lice. Okay, I know it sounds really crazy. It sounds, and I'm the first one to tell you. But only reason I think is because it's very bizarre that where did the leather come? Kosnois or vayal bishem? Leather? Where'd you get leather from? A dead animal?
By the curse of the snake, right?
Yeah. So the nachash, yeah.
So it said that the
bite in
the heel, right?
You'll
stomp on his head.
But who, you was a curse for, you'll step on it. Right, that's
there is killing an animal.
Okay. Okay, that's he's saying that after the curse of the Nachash was that the Isha would step on its head, which similarly means would kill it. So once it's dead, what do you do with the ore, with the leather? You use it. The rattlesnake, this expensive stuff. The Gucci, all this expensive stuff. I don't know, that's not it. But there's another basic question all the commentators ask, and they all give very interesting answers, is that why was it even necessary for Adam and Chava to have, for Hashem to make for them kosnois or, when it says explicitly in the Torah that they covered themselves with ale te'ena, fig leaves. So they were covered. They their bodies were covered. They were tsanua. What?
Linen, flax.
Okay, but there was Hashem does miracles to give you a clothing. I'm covered. I have so it's a little bit itchy. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It does the job. It does the it does the job. You have to go to Bergdorf, you go to Hatbox, you get a suit there also. And to add to the question, to compound the question, Chazal tell us that the whole Torah from beginning to end is chesed. The beginning of Torah is chesed, and the end of the Torah is chesed. The Torah is sandwiched. It's a Torah's chesed. Where is there chesed at the end of the Torah? The Ribbono Shel Olam was the Chevra Kadisha. No charge. No charge. He did the burial, did the Tahara. He dressed Moshe. Hashem vayikbor oisoy bagai. Oisoy means Hashem. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem did with Moshe Rabbeinu chesed shel emes. And where in the beginning of the Torah is there chesed? Hashem dressed Adam and Chava. Wait a minute. Adam and Chava, they don't need, they were already dressed. What? It says in the pasuk they put upon their body vayedu ki eru mimhena, and they took the ale te'ena. They covered themselves ale te'ena. It says, and then Hashem made for them a kapata. Hashem made for them another garment. Why was it necessary? Lav v'chol yoy misrachei shnisa. Why would Hashem have to create clothing when they already had clothing? Okay, there are many, many answers, but obviously it comes to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them something very, very special. Hashem was mechabe them. You know, you wear clothing for two reasons. Number one, you wear clothing, number one, to cover your nakedness. And then there's another type of garment you wear, lechavoid ulesifares, honor. Okay, a person wears undergarments, covers his nakedness, and then he wears outer garments, all depending on who you are. If you're a rabbi, so you wear whatever, rabbi clothing. If you're a galach, okay? If you're a mayor, so you wear a nice red and white costume. I have a picture that looks just like mayor. You know, I took mayor, I put him into Google Lens, and I said Mayor Appledorf, and I said, find me Mayor Appledorf, and they spit out for me a Santa Claus that is the spitting image of mayor. Right? It's really, you know, Google Lens, facial recognition. They showed me this Santa Claus that looks identical, his twin brother, just like it. There's a certain costume. Hashem, clothing is not just to cover nakedness, it's also to give l'chovoid ulis sifars. We spoke this many, many times. I tell you, what is the nafkamina? We spoke about this, is that the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol, when he went to the Kodesh HaKadosh Mangem HaKippurim, he wore clothing that were see-through. Sheer.
Didn't Nimrod get the clothing from Adam HaRishon and
that's what I want to tell you right now. A Chiddush Nifla from a rabbi, I don't know if he's a rabbi. He certainly, in my book, is a rabbi. Alexander Houl. He says he's a Chiddush Nifla. I want to get to this. It really shook me to the core, and it made me think about a lot of things when he says what he's about to tell you. I want to go to other things. Let's just go quickly. So he says over here. So we have to appreciate the fact that it has to. We have to appreciate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava kosnois or. Why? There are many answers, but it seems on one level Hashem gave them honor, beautiful garments. Okay, in his book over here, he has this whole discussion over here about this very interesting statue that has been discovered in Egypt. He tells you exactly where it is. He has this partial picture of it. It shows the person that was destroyed. It was basically someone came with an axe and tried to destroy it. They didn't do such a good job, but most of it is still left over. And they broke it into pieces. They're able to reconstruct it. And basically, it's a massive statue of a person sitting on a chair, dressed. They're able to do, you know, with technology to even know what color. You know, even the Arch of Titus, I'm sure if you've seen, they were able to colorize it. And they knew as a fact that 2,000 years ago, it was painted exactly what it looked like in color. And over 2,000 years, obviously all the paint disappeared, but they're able to, using technology, to figure out exactly what it looked like after it was painted. Likewise, this statue in Egypt, in some obscure location, this is a famous thing, I never heard of this, is a statue, and no one really knows who it is. And Alexander Houle, through his hypothesis, he has really incredible things. A whole mahalach he has. I can't tell you, I can't pronounce half the words of this book, and I encourage you to read this and study this and to go get some background by going on YouTube and learning all about ancient Egypt. He makes a very strong argument that this statue is the statue of Esav HaRasha. Pella, mamish, pile ploim. And this, one of the features of this statue is Esav HaRasha wearing a multicolored garment, beautiful garment, a very beautiful garment. And this garment, what is this garment all about? So the goyim have no clue what this is all about, but he explains, based on all the midrashim, is that we know that when, I think even Rashi says, I don't remember, is that when Esav was an Ish Tzayid, Ish Sodeh, he would go out into the field, he captured the clothing, it's the big day Chamudois. He captured the clothing of Nimrod. Nimrod, Adam HaRishon had the Kosnois Or. And the Kosnois Or had superpowers, whatever this means. Any animal that saw the Kosnois Or immediately submitted itself to the person that was wearing this clothing. Is this a natural phenomenon? Is this a supernatural phenomenon? Is the clothing alive? And that's why it can be even called a natural? I have no idea. But the Chazal, I'm not making, because Chazal, this is a real Chazal. Chazal say this. Chvesnish, it as it's disguised, it submitted itself. Right, Bein Hashmashos. Okay, so this is Chazal. This is Chazal. This is serious stuff. This is not some hocus pocus stuff. It's a Chazal. Everyone knows, been taught this. Who had this clothing? Somehow it made its way into the hands of Nimrod, and Esav killed Nimrod. That was the day of when Yaakov bought the Bechorah. And who took it? Esav took it. And Esav was able to use this clothing in each tzayid, whatever it is. He was able to be successful in hunting. And Chazal tells us that when he went to go be mechabed his father, he would get dressed in this beautiful clothing to give cover to his father and would wear this clothing. All right, whatever it means, it means. The next thing we know about this clothing So Rivka had the clothing, and it says that she dressed Yaakov in the big day chamudos. She dressed him in the big day chamudos. Okay, the other thing that we know about clothing is we know that Yosef had the kisoines pasim. And I don't know if he's saying this or it's in Taka Medrash, is that the kisoines pasim was the big day chamudos. It was handed down. I have to read this very carefully, which I did not. Now, why am I telling you all this? He made it. You're right. I don't know. You're right. It's a good question. You're right. You have to see if he has a makar. You have to see if there's a makar for this. Okay, you're right. Now, why am I telling you? This is a very short thing. Okay, they did very well. So this thing, which people always ask these questions, is that there are contradictions in Midrashim. People always ask, many very common. How could the Midrash over here says this, and it says something completely different in a different Midrash, or in a different Gemara? So what is the answer? The answer is a good question. Maybe there's a way to reconcile it. And if there's no way to reconcile the contradiction, so be it. Hayah luchud v'hayah luchud. What?
I predicted you were going to say that.
Midrashim halukin. Okay, so let me give you a contradiction, and let me tell you what he says, and I never heard anyone say such a thing. I'll read you the words it says. Here he quotes over here from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Ramachal, you see, he says, when I say Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, but Machal has respect. This is the real deal. We're not making things up over here. The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer says as follows. Okay, it's a translation or a summary. The garment that Esav had, okay, I'll read from the very beginning. In chapter 12, we identify the statue of the red head with the multi-striped cloak found in, how do you pronounce this word, this city? Avaris? I think he holds that to be either Pisum or Ramses, whatever it is. As, I'm not sure, it's a very famous city. He refers to the city a million times in this book, whatever it is. As depicting, this was his chiddush. His chiddush nifla. has a whole chapter on this. There's a statue, a well-known statue in Egypt, in Egypt or whatever, and it said, and he has a chiddush nifla, and he holds that this multi-striped, this depicting a statue of the red head with the multi-striped cloak found in this city as depicting Esav wearing the coveted coat of many colors that he took from Nimrod after killing Minadul. This is in line with the rabbinic tradition, as recorded in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, chapter 24. This was the same, that I'm reading from this, is he saying from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer? 24. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Chof Dalid. And then he goes on to explain what it says there. This was the same cloak given to Adam. Okay, Adam, Hashem made kosnois or, and it was passed down to Noach. And Noach, who did Noach give it to?
Chom stole it? Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, exactly.
That's why Nimrod has it.
Oh, wait. Hold 1 second. Chom. Let that remember. Wait. He's going through the whole chain. Wait. So hold off 1 second. You're right. Everything.
Esav took it from Nimrod when he killed Nimrod.
Wait. Oh, you said Chava. Ooh, boy. Oh, we have here. We got over here the whole work. Everyone is in the Chavan over here. Wait. Hold off 1 second here. Can you imagine if they were able to talk online? We would have Mamish, a whole choir here. The problem is they can't talk online because my speaker will be I'm so lazy I can't fix the sound for some reason. I can't figure out how to fix the sound. I need a technician here to fix it for me. Okay, let's go through the steps. So if you're online and you're trying to talk and I'm not responding to you, I apologize. It's not because I'm trying to be rude, it's because for some reason, the sound doesn't want to work. I did spend time trying to fix it, and I can't. I don't know. It's baffling to me what the problem is. Okay, let's go further. It went to Noach. Who got it after? The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, Noach had 3 sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Now, if you were Noach, who would you give it to? You give it to Shem, right?
Sure.
Shem was the good guy. But it says in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Mayevsky said it himself, is no, it somehow ended up in the hands of Chom. Okay? Not Yefes. Chom. Chom is the bad guy. Chom is the one that did an Aveira to Noach, and he was cursed. He was cursed. Okay, Rabbi said, please. Okay? It went to Chom. That's what it says, Chom. And then it went from Chom to Nimrod. Who is Nimrod a descendant of, by the way?
Chom.
Okay, so it makes sense then. It went to Chom and then went to Nimrod. And then when Nimrod was killed by Esav, it went to Esav. And what did Esav do with it? So it's, he was afraid of his wives. So who did he give it to? What? What do you say? Lavan? What's that?
Mother's mother.
He gave it to Rivka. Excellent. Okay, so we went to the Shalshelus HaDvarim. Adam, Noach, Chom. Then it naturally went down to Nimrod, his descendant, and from Nimrod to Esav, and from Esav to Rivka. Okay, let me cite you a.
From Adam to Noah. I don't know.
We don't know. Way too far back. How are we going to do? We know nothing.
Each of the generations.
Tradition. You have to have
Emunah. The generations of the 10 generations of Noah.
Adam to Noah. This is what it says. Okay, we have the sequence of events. This is Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is our Emunah. We have a Mesoira, we have a Maminim, B'nai Maminim, Adam, Noach, Chom, Nimrod, Esav, Rivka. Six steps. What? Wait, very good. Excellent question. I never even thought about that. That idea to me was such a light bulb went off when I heard oh, wait a minute, there are 2 sets of clothing. Okay, it's a whole dance. Wait a second. Now let me cite you another Chazal. However, there is a seemingly conflicting tradition that traces a different path of transmission of the cloak. Where is the different tradition? This is where Michal is referring to. Michal was all worked up. I saw Baruch Hashem. Medrash Agada. What's Medrash Agada? Chapter 43, brought down in Oitzer HaMidrashim, Genesis 27:15. He cites here the exact source, Oitzer Midrashim, Medrash Agada is cited in a collection. It's like basically a right, no, correct, Eisenstadt, fine. Oitzah HaMidrash was right, Eisenstadt. What did Eisenstadt do? He brought together obscure Midrash you never heard of before. It's like Torah Shlema. Torah Shlema did the same type of thing. Fine, Torah Shlema, he did it, wherever it is. There's something that is cited all over the course. Eitzah Midrashim, this person, he went and he found a collection of Midrashim that are obscure. Obscure Midrashim, which I'm assuming is accepted to be authentic. Okay, you have to be careful with these things. Yeah. It's not your Messiah. Who says maybe someone just one day woke up and he took a cup of schnapps and he just started writing nonsense. Okay, we have to assume that it's authentic.
You have to distinguish between classic, right.
and things
later.
Right. We have to know. There's a lot of these type of things which are very dangerous. Be very, very careful to know what is authentic, what is not authentic, what is the Messiah, what is not the Messiah. But the fact that it is cited in Oitzer Midrashim, I don't really know what I'm talking about. It seems you get the sense that there's something that you don't just push this away. And it says there in this thing called the Medrash Agada, it says a different sequence of events happened to the big day, the Kosnois Or of Hashem. It says it went to Noach, and then it went to Shem. Ooh. And then it says in the Medrash, from Shem it went to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham gave it to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was blind, so who did he give it to for safekeeping? He gave it to Esav, exactly. He gave it to Esav, Yitzchak, Oyheves, Es Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav, whatever. He favored.
Nimrod
out of the picture. Nimrod
may have possessed it, but Avraham defeated Nimrod and his gang in the war.
Okay, it doesn't say that here. Doesn't say that over here. It doesn't say here. You got to go back to the source. I don't have the source. It doesn't seem to say here that Nimrod ever laid his eyes on it. That's obviously, what are you talking about? He asked a child in the street. Esav got it from Nimrod. Oh, wait a minute. In this Medrash, it doesn't say that happened. It doesn't say that. Nimrod had nothing to do with these garments. Didn't touch it. Never saw it. Doesn't know from it. Avraham started off by Adam. It went to Noach. Noach naturally would give it to Shem. He was the good guy. He gave it to Shem. Shem's descendant is Avraham. Naturally, it should go from Shem to Avraham, his descendant. Avraham favored Yitzchak. Avraham gave it to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak favored Esav. That's not a chiddush. That's what it says in the Torah. He favored Esav. Esav is going to be his carry on his legacy. That Yaakov, he gave it to Esav. Esav got it from Yitzchak. Yitzchak got it from Avraham. Avraham got it from Shem, and Shem got it from Noach, and Noach got it from Adam. And then after Esav got it, what did Esav do with it? I don't trust my wives. I don't trust these women. So he gave it to Rivka. So now it says in the pasuk that it came time for the brachos. What did Rivka do? She gave the big day chamudos to Yaakov. Yaakov should get dressed. Okay? Contradiction. Mr. Merlis, you always ask me this question. Contradiction. We have the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer that gives you a fascinating shalsheles hadvarim of how where the clothing, how it went down. And it says here in this Medrash called Medrash Agada, cited in the Oitzer Midrashim by Eisenstein, Eisenstein, and he has all the exact page and everything, you can look it up. A whole different sequence of events, a whole different, how it got to Rivka. Contradiction. So I would just say, we used to this already, big deal. So, if you can't reconcile, maybe some way there can be some reconciliation, maybe. You gotta know some more information. And if there's no reconciliation, big deal. Go join the club. Join the club. There are only many midrashim that are contradictory. No, so does this medrash, does that medrash. We don't lose sleep over this. that they're contradict midrashim that contradict one another. So he says here, this is his chiddush. His chiddush, no one's chiddush but his own. He says, wait a minute, Alexander Hull, wait a minute. There were two sets of Big Day Chamudos. Hashem made for Adam the Ishtoi, Kosnois or Vayal Bishem. Or you're going to tell me they were Siamese twins? He made one, like the time of when they were poverty, they wore one, six people wore one garment? They all wore it together? No. Pashup Shad is, they were two independent people wearing two different sets of garments. Adam wore his garment, and Chava wore her garment. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. When Adam and Chava died, they left over in this world two sets of garments.
Wasn't Adam 200
hours tall? I don't know this stuff. Let's learn one thing. It's hard enough to wrap your head around this. You tell you want to go wrap your head around 200 hours. Let's do one thing at a time. He says there are two sets of garments. Rabbi, please. There are two sets of garments. The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer is describing one set of garments. And the Medrash Agada is describing the other garment. One belonged to Adam, and one belonged to Chava. You're going to stop being a lamban saying Lo Silbash Gever Simlas Isha. Don't confuse me with the facts now. Let's just focus on there were two sets of Elu VaElu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Yeah. Who else? Who else? Who went to the dinosaurs? Who else got it? There's a marvel coming. The only survivor was Noah. Adam and Chava died, and both of their garments, two sets of garments, found themselves in the hands of Noah. Two sets of garments. Then Noah died. When Noah died, they divided the Yerusha. Shem will take one set of garments, and Chom took the other set of garments. The one that was taken by Shem went down to Avraham, Yitzchak, Esav, Rivka. The set of garments that went to Chom went to Nimrod. Chom went to Nimrod, and Esav killed Nimrod. He got it from Nimrod, and then.
Wait, now you're saying he had both of them.
I'm sorry. No, he had only one. He went to.
He had both.
Exactly. No. You know, the end was. All right, you say Taka saying very good. I knew and appreciate that point that they both at the very end they ended up safely in the hands of Rivka. That's the end of his vart. He answers this contradiction. He answered now because of what you just said to me, you're confusing what I wanted to say, but I'll say it anyway. But you put a hole in what I wanted to say, but it doesn't matter. We'll figure out a way to make it work anyway. But this is where he ends off. Okay? Eilu v'eilu. Eilu v'eilu. So to me, what's fascinating is the first time we hear about the clothing in the Torah, and also he says it's always plural. It's kosnois, let's say. Kosnas, kosnois, or Rivka had in her possession the big day, not the beget chomud, the big day chamudos.
Maybe the two parts of Yaakov.
Possibly, but in ancient times it wasn't like that. Wasn't the case in ancient times. In ancient, because this is a law. The undergarments. See, Adam is the other question. Adam and Chava made for themselves coverings for their body. They had fig leaves. They made some type of covering. When Hashem made for them kosnois or, what does that mean? They said, take off your fig leaves and wear this instead. Is that what it means? Or it means wear this on top?
Probably
on top. Just like the Kohanim, they have four garments. What is they have an undergarment. What's the undergarment? The michnasayim. Michnasayim is basically underwear. What we call underwear. And then they wear a kisoynes. What's a kisoynes? Like you see, lahavdil elif alfi avels, the Pakistanians. You see the Pakistanis, what do they wear? They wear kesainis. They wear one garment which goes all the way down. One long robe. That's what the Kohanim wore. It's all the picture books. One, but the Pakistanis don't wear gartel. They don't wear. They do. I would imagine that they do. Okay? The Kohanim wore a pair of pants. The Michnasayim is basically undergarments. It's just for the just the lower portion of the body. It's to cover the erva. And then on top they wear the kisoinis, that's one garment. So if Adam and Chava already had undergarments with the fig leaves, and Hashem made for them the kosnites are, and in fact it says this in many of the Mefarshim, a lot of the Mefarshim, if I don't remember correctly, they all said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a second layer of clothing. And the second layer, L'chairo, we can look at what it says, the way the Kohanim got dressed was just one garment. So you're asking a very good question, Marissa. Maybe when it says the big day chamudos, it means there were two parts. There is the pants and the shirt, like the way we dress. It's a jacket, and a pair of pants. And that's why it's called big day. It's not mestaver. It's much more mestaver that it means it's one beged. Hashem made one beged for Adam and one beged for Chava, one piece garment. And that would then mean that why, when it says by Rivka, she had in her possession the big day, chamudois. What's the Lashon Rabim? Lashon Rabim seems to indicate there are two separate garments. Yaakov went to Yitzhak for the bracha, does that mean that he wore them both? I have no idea. Okay, I'm just throwing out some things. But going back, what am I trying to bring out? It's fast to me that this is where the Vart ends. The Vart ends right here. And it's Taka, very, it's unbelievable. The whole book is worth just for this Vart alone, even though this is nothing to do with this book. This idea, basically, because of the statue, so Memela, Me'in, he has a whole thing at the end of the book, two pages. Appendix B, he tells you this interesting chiddush, a contradiction. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer and Medrash Agada, a stira. So most people would say, have a nice day, enjoy your lunch, and add this to your collection of midrashim that contradict one another. Fine, the speculating.
Fine.
But he says, you don't have to speculate. Okay, Alexander, never heard this chiddush before, never heard this topic, and he says, Alexander, every generation Hashem leaves over chidushim that no one thought of before, to give every generation a chelik in their Torah. Try to find me someone that says such a chiddush. And he says, there's no steer between the Medrash Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer and Medrash Agada, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, one garment was from Adam and one was from Chava. That's pretty fascinating. Okay, and there's no longer speculation, they're both correct. That's where the Vart ends. Now, I just want to add to that, is that it's amazing, the first time the garments are mentioned explicitly in the Torah is Adam and Chava, and the next time it's mentioned is Rivka. And everything else in the middle is all the Midrashim. That indicates Rivka was the person that after the whole Shalshelis Hadvarim, Adam and Chava, the Zivuk. Let me stop here and let me try to bring out what intrigues me from a different angle. It always bothered me why, when the Torah wants to talk about Shiduchim, the Torah focuses on Rivka. Very nice story. Eliezer comes to the well, and there she is, a little girl, 3 years old. Oh, would you like a drink? I'll give you and your camels and this. They go back to the house. Love and Basula, Gansa, Maisa. Yofesi, Choslav, Avdi, Avos, Gansa, Maisa, the Shaduchim. Every single person in this room can tell me that their own Shidduch, who they're married to, is even a more interesting story. Every single person has a story about Shaduchim. May Hashem Yotza Hadover. Rivka, I have no doubt in my mind the shidduch of Avraham and Sarah was just as interesting And so was, if you want to dwell on Shidduchim, every person has a story to tell you. And by the way, their marriage doesn't seem to be such a on a very bland, you know, just read the text, doesn't seem they got along, okay? They couldn't, every couple, you know, you get along. No, they didn't see eye to eye. Who should get the brachas? And she had a terrible pregnancy. And she had a big fight with her husband. How come you don't daven for me? How come you don't? And he says to her, I forgot, there's some interesting comments there. We're not. It doesn't seem that they use their marriage as a model in Shalom Bayis school. It doesn't seem the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, you come to a class on Shalom Bayis. We're going to study the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. No way. Because basically the marriage breaks every rule of marriage. It's not. So why then would you focus on the Shidduch? It's too complicated. Obviously, we don't know what we're talking about. Obviously, there's something very deep going on. And I think this is one little piece of the puzzle. The first Shidduch was Adam and Chava. And Adam and Chava, after they died, their begodim went off in two different worlds. A world that went down through Chom and a world that went through Shame. Two different worlds, completely different worlds. Chom was cursed, Canaan, Gan Samaisa, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And where did they come back together? Where did they shoy v'shuv elecha? Rivka. Now, someone pointed out that, and realized they really came back by Esav. It really, really came back by Esav. But Esav, the truth is, Esav did not hold on to it. Esav was true to can't do it. Esav got it. But as soon as he got it, he gave it away. Because, and it doesn't even say it in the Torah. The Torah emphasizes it was put away in safekeeping. In safekeeping in the hands of Rivka. It's an amazing thing. It opens up a whole new world in trying to appreciate who is this woman? Who is Rivka? Now we hear a lot about Sarah, because Sarah, you know, was Avram's partner. And we hear a lot about Rachel and Leah, the mothers of the Shiftei Kah, and all the chasadim they did, and then she gave over the Simonim, and Rivka had six of the Shvatim. Rivka, I'm sorry?
Leah.
And Rivka somewhere, who is Rivka? It makes us open up a cold case. Who is this woman? This phenomenon that the Big Day Chamudos found themselves secure and returned to one Mokka in Rivka, and these Big Day Chamudos is the ultimate Shidduch. It's the Shidduch of Yetziras Adam. Etzem me'atzami basim me'besari. The whole essence of Rivka is a ma'achid. Is to bring together. And it, we have to re-study her life. And
so you're saying more that she brought together the man and the woman's clothes.
Right. She brought together Adam and Chava again. She brought Adam and Chava died, and they parted in this world. They parted in death. They say that not going to depart. When Adam and Chava died, their remnants. A beged is a very symbolic thing. Begodim capture. Chazal always say represents the midos of a person. A beged is a symbol. It represents who you are, your midos. Today, a uniform speaks volumes. We don't understand this. When Adam and Chava died, in this world, is that okay? They died, big deal. They have clothing, so give it away to the donation to poor people, the Salvation Army. are come, they die, the Salvation Army give away all their clothing. That's not the way it works in the Torah. In the Torah, everything has very great depth and significance. When Adam and Chava died, what was the most prized possession that they left over in this world? Their clothing, because this clothing was the clothing that Hashem made for them. Kosnois arvayal bishem. In the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, it doesn't say or with an ayin, it says or with an aleph. What is that? No, it says or with an ayin in the Torah, which means leather, but in his Sefer Torah it says kosnois or with an aleph. With an aleph. It's very symbolic. When they died, that's what they left over in this world. And people came along to chap. To chap. The Yerusha. Chap the Yerusha. Fight over the Yerusha. And there are two different worlds. There's the world of shame and there's the world of chom. What about Yefes? I don't know. Yefes is not part of the equation. It's not part of the Yerusha here for some reason. And they're very different worlds. And then these two worlds reunited in the hands of Rivka. She had in her possession the Bigdei Chamudos, and what did she do? She put the Bigdei Chamudos on Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, you read it, it says she dressed him the Bigdei. What do you mean Bigdei? How many Begadim are there? I think it says in the Pasuk, right? It says in the Pasuk, Ramayevsky, it says, maybe we should go look at the Pasuk. Let me just read the Pasuk very quickly. In Toldos, when she dressed him, when she Vatikach Rivka es big day, it says here the big day Esav beno hagadol hachamudos is beloshen rabim. Esav got both. You see, it's talking true. Esav got both. He got the one that he got from his father, and he conquered the garment that he got from Nimrod. He had them both. And he gave them in safekeeping to Rivka. And Rivka then took both of these garments. If you want to learn Pashat Pshat, it doesn't say the Beged, it says Big Day. What's the Pshat? I don't know what the Pshat. You wear two garments at the same time? It's Kasha L'Shikha to wear two garments at the same time. What does it mean exactly? There are more questions here. He's opening up, Alexander Hull is opening up more questions than answers. But it is fascinating. It's just mind-boggling. Rivka is the one, after everything is said and done, is the one has the garments, and she dresses Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, once again, is the synthesis of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava have returned. They have returned, they have been, the Zivug. Why is Rivka the model of Zivugim? Because Rivka has now in her possession the garment of Adam, the Chasan, and the Kala. And they're coming together as a Zivug. They're coming together. Achoyseinu atihi la'alfei revava. You see that Rivka is taking both garments, Adam and Chava, and bringing them together. Rivka, the story of her Shidduch is not that, she was united with Yitzchak. It's more than that. She is the Mahus of bringing together the original Chos and Kala, Adam and Chava, reuniting them by taking both of the garments and dressing Yaakov Avinu to continue the legacy of what this world was created for. It says, what happened? Yitzchak, Vayigash Yaakov, Vayimushehu, he felt him. Yishana Vamushecha b'ni, Atoz Zebni Yesav Imloi. What did he feel exactly? He felt the skin. They felt it. Doesn't mean he felt the garments. By the way, these are some old questions. I don't have any answer to any of these questions. Why did he have to get dressed up in clothing altogether? He was blind. Yitzchak was blind. He could have come in pajamas. What? Does it say that? When it says that he felt, Yaakov told Rivka, Ula yimusheni avi. That means he'll feel my skin. He's going to feel my skin, not my garments. So why did he need to wear the garments altogether? I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay,
so this...
Why did he trust? I mean, Raji explains why, but it's interesting.
And yet he gave her the clothing to watch.
Right,
it goes to show a mother is always a mother. That's what it really goes to show. A mother is always a mother no matter what. Even though they didn't get along, a mother is a mother. I don't know, okay, these are just...
What happened to the second set of clothes that she had?
That's what I just said, he gave them both. That's exactly what we just said, she had both. So if you read the psukim on a literal level...
Oh, she gave them both to Yaakov?
That's what it seems.
And what did Yaakov do?
So he says, Alexander, who that Yaakov gave them, that was the Ksenis Pasim. Yaakov then got them, and Yaakov gave it to Yosef. The Ksenis Pasim, he has a medrash to prove that? I don't know.
Yeah, because Yosef put it on, it was Mesalsel Besar. He must have put on the wrong...
Mesalsel, what is Mesalsel Besar have to do with the clothing? I don't know. All right, this is a fascinating chiddush. He brings out, and the reason why he brought this out was because he made a big deal in his book about the statue that he claims is Esav, and the telltale sign that it's Esav was because the statue, we can tell this man in the statue is dressed in a very beautiful, elaborate garment, which he suggests the timeline of when the statue was erected was shortly after the death of Nimrod. According to Alexander Hull's timeline and reconstruction of history, we know where and when Nimrod was killed, and they buried him, and he was, we know where he was originally buried until some crazy people came and took away his body because they wanted to steal from the body all of the valuables around the body. And he claims that the way he claims basically is that Nimrod was in the middle of building a magnificent palace for himself in his capital, wherever that place was, wherever it was. And Esav killed him. And when Esav killed him, he commanded them, they immediately stop constructing the palace because they're not going to get paid. No tiki, no washi. You don't get, they stop, mamish, this ancient palace, he tells you where it is, he tells you what it's all about, and all of the archaeologists are stunned that it looks like they stopped constructing it, mamish, right in the middle. And in the garden, there's what appears to be a burial, a whole ancient type of burial, which is very common in those days. And the way he reconstructs the timeline, and based on his evidence, again, I don't know if what he's saying is true or not, I'm no from nothing, but I'm just telling you what he presents here. He says what happened was, this was coincides, it's synchronized with what it says in the Midrashim and Chumash, that Esav killed Nimrod. When Nimrod was killed, his whole Malchus was suspended, because the king is dead, we're not going to get paid, everyone just dropped a hammer right in the middle. And Esav commanded that he should be buried, they should border up, shut up this palace, as it still is today to some degree, and they should bury Nimrod in the garden, and to construct a massive statue of Esav himself to show, I killed him. Which was the way they did things in ancient times. In ancient times, if you conquer a gibor, so you bury the gibor, and on his grave, instead of having a matzeva, you have a statue of the person who killed him to show, I am the conqueror. This is a typical mahalach that was done in ancient times, and everything, the timeline and the evidence indicates 100% that it's exactly, according to Alexander Hull, Esav killed Nimrod. He took him to his palace. They buried him in the garden of the palace. They shut up the palace by bordering it up. And he built, they instructed they should build a magnificent statue on the grave in that area. I, Esav, conquered this world leader, Nimrod, and I want there to be a memorial of what I have done, my success. And basically the Matzev of ancient times is the one that killed the person. The one that it's like George W., a statue being erected on top of the grave of Saddam Hussein, a statue of George W. Bush. Think of it like that. George W. Bush went on a crusade to kill Saddam. He succeeded. And Saddam is buried somewhere. They had nowhere there. They buried him somewhere. And the Matzeva would be a big statue of George W. Bush. Look at my success. I conquered this person. And that statue depicts a person wearing a beautiful garment, which is uncommon in this era, which fits perfectly with the Yesoid. Then what did he take away from him? Everything fits. What did he take away from Nimrod? He took away the garment, the Bigdei Chamudos, the garment. Unbelievable. So once he talks about that, wait a minute. Where did the other set of garments go? Oh, there's another Messiah. It went to shame. It went Avraham, shame to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and also to Esav. And Esav gave both of the garments to Rivka for safekeeping, and Rivka took both of the garments together, tzvemin, and dressed Yaakov Avinu, which means Yaakov Avinu has now synthesized the midos of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava is the Yitzir Kapoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam and Chava is the creation of Adam and Chava, and Hashem dressed them in the Kosnois Or, and now Yaakov Avinu is the Shlemus, is going to continue that Shlemus. The image of Yaakov Avinu is etched into the Kisei HaKavod, and Yaakov Avinu is now continuing where creation left off, with being the Bechir Sheba Avos, the father of the Shiftei Kav Klal Yisrael. It all makes sense. Okay, now it obviously I was saying things over here that I've never seen anyone say anything like this, and never heard of a diuk. The average diuk that is like what Mr. Marilla said. Who says Bigdei Chamudos means two sets of garments? It means a jacket and a pair of pants. Yeah, right. So you know, you're right. That's how I thought of it. Never even dawned upon me such a thing. But you know.
What happened in the end? Your brothers soaked it in blood. Remember that?
Right. Oh, so we went off tracks all over again. Yaakov Avinu had them both. He gave it to Yosef. So Yosef was going to carry on the legacy, and then the Mechiras Yosef ruined it all over again. It ruined it. They destroyed it. They dipped it in blood. When they Sinas Chinam, and then here we are. History. Here we are. 3,000 years later, we're going nowhere fast.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mamish, exactly. It's a Pella. A little piece of information changes everything. Little piece of information changes everything. Based on this statue somewhere in Egypt
of Esav.
Pilei Ploim. Now, maybe everything, I'm sure there'll be some people that are very jealous of Alexander Hull, and they'll come in and give a whole share refuting everything he says. So if you're out there, we welcome you to come. And we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear. Let the MS come forth. It's really fascinating. Okay, that's only one little. There's only two pages. There's some other incredible verlach. He tells you when Mashiach is coming. By the way, here, he says basically this year. This book. I'm not joking with you. He doesn't need to do that. He's very careful with that. Of course, he writes. Of course, he now does. But it's a Zohar. The Zohar says that the Tchias HaMeisim, people will talk, they're going to start talking about this. The Zohar says that if based upon our calculation, Tchias HaMeisim is going to begin for Tzadikim in the year 20, in the secular year, based upon the calculations, 2027. In 5 years from now, according to the simple reading of the Zohar, is the Zman of Tchias HaMeisim. That's an old thing. That's old news. That's old news. Mashiach, this is old news, and you're going to start hearing about this from all people who want to scare you, and it means really nothing, because don't fall into the trap of going for this stuff, because we've been down this path many times and only ended in major disaster. But if you want to go find something to pick on, the Zohar makes a calculation of when Mashiach will come. And according to our calculation, the way we calculate today, it's in 5 years from now, 2027. Alexander Hull, he then takes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel, which says, which seems to indicate that a certain amount of time before Mashiach, Step back. The Zohar says that Techias HaMesim will occur in, translate the numbers, 2027. Techias HaMesim. For Tzadikim. Only for Tzadikim. Only for Tzadikim. Techias HaMesim. And then what he does, the Chiddush of Alexander Hull is to take a Pasuk in Sefer Daniel, which seems to indicate, based upon all the sources that he has over here, is that 5 years before Techias HaMesim will be Mashiach. First, again, Rambam says don't do this. It's now 12:01. So whatever we say now is off the record. It's off the record. So the Zohar says Techias HaMesim for Tzadikim. 2027. Alexander Hull, based upon his sources and a very interesting Mahalich and what it says in Sefer Daniel, says approximately five years before that will be Mashiach. So based upon that, this year is 2023, according to Alexander Hull's Chiddush.
It passed already.
We're in 2023. What do you mean it passed?
27 less 5 is 22.
22 passed already. It is 2023. No, we count both ends. We count both ends. 27 is 1. Doesn't mean the beginning. 27, 26, 25, 24, 23. Didn't pass. It's like, Lamarshall, how...
Okay. Right. We'll speak at the end of the year.
It's always like that. All the kings, in Tanakh, it's always another number. It's like, how old was Avraham when he left Haran? It says in the Pasuk, it says he was 75 years old. How old was he when he had Yitzchak? Avraham ben Ma'ashana. It's the Pasuk. He was 75 years when he left Haran. He left Haran. And he was 100 years old when he had Yitzchak. So how many years is that? So, 25, right? No, 26. 26. 26 years, because 75, you include the ends. 75 is 1, and 100 is 2, and everything in the middle is another 24. So it's 24, 25, 26. You always add the end. So therefore, according to that, by the way, this book was published many years ago. It wasn't published this year. He didn't publish this book until the Mashiach is coming this year. This book, the date is 2020. Wow. 2020. And in 2020, published a book that says, according to the Zohar and according to his Chiddush, this year is a Zman Misugol. We don't make the mistake in saying anything can possibly happen, but it means Shemayim is open. If only we would try a little bit harder, and daven a little bit more, and speak a little less lashon hara, v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. It's a zman mesugel for good things to happen.
Who is we?
You, you and me, and Mark, and Mary also. The gam charvoina zocher lataif. Okay, this year, according to him, I don't take this too seriously, of course, but it's very interesting to see what he says, to see the numbers and how he makes his calculations. He's a grace of cup, a grace of mathematician. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai.